monthly board meeting will take place after this session. All right. We're going to wrap this chapter up. You may have a short class. I know it won't break a lot of people's hearts, but anyway. Maybe I can drag it out. I got a knack for that. All right. Let's be sure that we are compliant with the principle of the rulership of life. It's very easy to get out of fellowship. You can't wear a rebound out, okay? And you have unlimited units of it. It's not like it's okay, that's it. I mean, you can throughout a course of a day, all kinds of little stuff comes up and you get out of fellowship over it. You drop something on the floor and you make a big deal of it. You have an accident because you were careless, and so you go out of fellowship. Well, try something different. Try just okay. Things are going to happen, and here I am, and I know it's easier said than done, but it's doable. But at the very least, just keep. I confess that, Father. Boom, and keep rolling on. Get in fellowship. I got this job to do, and it's got some issues that I got to get done. Help me to get this done. Just keep praying without ceasing about little stuff. Okay, here comes this customer. I got to deal with. Help me deal with this person and get it done right. Just ideas for keeping your sanity and not acting like we do so often. All right, Paul had a big STA grid with regard to lusts. He doesn't indicate anywhere that he carried them out in the overt realm that we know of. We don't need to know of it anyway. It's not edifying. But he did have the STA lust and desires that were not of God. There are sanctified desires. You desire to find your right man or right woman. But you have all the Bible doctrine to know what you got to do, which is basically nothing. You pray about it and let God set up the circumstances. Adam became aware of the need for a mate as a result of seeing the animals come before him, male and female. And it stirred him up about that. What could he do? Nothing. And God created him, did a surgery on him. It didn't leave him. He recovered instantly. He built a woman around Adam's rib. Now that sounds really weird, doesn't it? You take a bone and you make this, but God can do anything. God can make anything happen. So Adam's rib, his right woman, was provided for him, and there's nothing he could have done to make this happen. That doesn't mean you can't meet somebody. But you don't have to resort to any of this mess that the world resorts to, and certainly not online. And that's all over the place. You know, you can buy a mate from Asia online. Please, poor girl. And they do this stuff. But we know better. We know that God provides the right opposite number. And if you have to march to the rapture without the right opposite number, then that's what it is. That's your niche. That's your calling. Paul did. John the Baptist did. Elijah did. And I'm sure they were people with like passions as us. In fact, the Bible says it's true. But they walked the celibate route because of their niche and their circumstances. So it's the old, wait on the Lord and let him bring it to pass. And I'm not talking about where you can't go, you know, put your application in for a job, sit at home and expect the phone to ring. It might, but you probably ought to put your application in a couple places after you prayed about it. I don't want this if this is not the right place for me. I want to be in the right environment so I can maximize my Christian life like your word tells me to. As minimal interference with my intake of Bible doctrine and application as a believer so that I can keep body and soul together and whatever else you want to do. This is simple stuff. This is basic stuff. All right, let's move on. The situation remains unchanged, status quo, from the point that Paul wrote this until he went to heaven in 68 AD. Wretched man that I am. The adjective, talaiporos, means miserable or wretched. I don't know which translation you prefer, but the word is only used one other time. This adjective is used in Revelation 3:17 of the church, bona fide pastor-teacher, the Laodicean church. Their spiritual condition under lukewarmness was wretched. This is an evaluation from the Lord of that church, and the solution to it was, of course, solicit from me pure gold. And that, of course, would be they were flagging real bad with regard to the advancement of Bible doctrine in their church, which fell at the feet of the spiritual leader. And so he had to get back in that study. Doesn't mean they were grossly unorthodox. It just means that they were not pursuing the plan of God like they should have been. The intake of Bible doctrine. That is the disease that has affected modern fundamentalist Christianity. They're involved in a lot of activities. I mean, really a lot of activities. Yet, the one that is absent is you can't go into their church and expect that the spiritual leader is going to take you and lead you through a single book in the Bible in detail. They're not going to do it. They're going to bounce around. That's the norm. There may be some exception out. And if there's an exception out there, well, great. But how'd you like his sermon today? Well, his sermon was basically, maybe it was completely orthodox. You couldn't criticize any of the content as being wrong. It's the fact that, and that was my beef back in the day, and I didn't know how to approach it until I had an example set in front of me, book by book, verse by verse, doctrine by doctrine. And we did it, what was it, 7 times a week, not on Saturday, twice on Sunday. Every night, we lined up, all 1,100 of us. That's about what that auditorium would hold, as I recall. And that's what we did. And that was my example of what you're supposed to be doing. Oh, we're going to go through the book of. Great. Then that's the one we committed ourselves to. And we picked up where we left off the last time. That's where I got my example as to the approach. Who will set me free from the body of this death? He asks the question. He poses the question. Who will deliver me? Rule my. Future tense. Down the line. Who will deliver me from, preposition ek, body of death, thanatos. He answers his question. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's his solution. Thanks, here is charis, which also is the word for grace. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we come back to the theme of this part of this chapter. As I entitled this, "The Situation Remains." So then, Ara'un, the two conjunctions back to back. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God. I am serving, present active indicative, the luo means to serve something, with my mind, the law of God. But on the other, with my flesh, the law or principle of the sin nature, of sin. Excuse me, there's no article here. One. So we're going to. Paul in these two verses expresses his acute sense of anguish. It provides the ultimate solution for total liberation from the depravity of the STA. The source of the liberation. He doesn't tell you what the nature of it is, but that the source is going to happen through the Lord Jesus Christ. The adjective he attaches to himself can be translated wretched or miserable. And as I said, one other instance of this adjective is Revelation 3:17, dealing with another topic altogether. Three, misery is when he breaks weak and aligns his mental attitude with his STA. Now that was Paul. It was like he's being prodded by his new self, new man, the doctrine he has assimilated. And now he's being dumb and going with his sin nature. Learn when you're going with your sin nature. Identify your mental attitude. Learn from Bible doctrine what constitutes a sin so that you can identify it and rebound, or better yet, not do it. Not go there. The STA doesn't want to hear this. Paul's sensitivity was especially acute considering his spiritual status. The question of verse 24b has to do with ultimate liberation from the body of death. Body of death. This probably refers to both physical decline, the end that we're carrying around this body of death, leading to physical death, as well as time out of fellowship. And I would probably lean that direction in this regard, but I won't be dogmatic either way. Either way, it's true that our ultimate deliverance is our promotion to phase three, whether before or after the rapture. For most, obviously, it's before. All who are in heaven currently are free from sin in all of its forms. The closest thing they come to sin is the periodic appearance of Satan to malign believers. That's what people in heaven get to see periodically. They see Satan. He shows up there. But that's not the topic here. And every time his attack on sinning believers gets thrown out of court because they're covered by the work of Jesus Christ towards sin. That it will occur for the believer is noted in verse 25a. He does not tell us the how, but rather the who of his longed for emancipation from the plague of the sin nature. He offers thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord for his future and anticipated deliverance from that which he cannot completely defeat as a believer in time. Cannot completely defeat it. So get used to it. This is not provided as an excuse. No one ever said, well, just go ahead and sin and rebound. I never said that. I just said that you're going to fail. You're going to stumble before the day is over. Things are going to be put in front of you. Maybe on that stupid phone you live too much on. Maybe not all of you. Maybe just some of you. Addicted. It makes people stupid because they can't think for themselves. They've got to have technology to think for themselves. It's okay to do research and look up something. You can do it in a book. You can do it online. But to be glued to that all the time and pursue this continuously is another addiction of the human race that makes them inhuman. Their mind, they can't go 10 minutes without checking it, looking into it. If it was just a tool to look up something, to do some research, or even to be entertained. But again, it goes too far. They got all these apps. They're running all over the place. Who cares? You ought to be praying, being in fellowship. If you want to get an app for your Bible, that's fine. Look up verses. Get away from this nonsense. It's easy to get wrapped up in these things. They knew that when they put all this technology in front of us. They knew that going clear back to at least television. Radio, okay. But now we can step it up another level. Visual. And they're glued to the tube. Constantly glued to the tube. This is something. And I understand, it becomes an addiction. I got to have it on. Even if I'm not listening, I got to have it, the noise in the background. I feel alone without it. They knew how to reprogram us. They knew exactly what they were doing in the name of entertainment or information. Just things to pray and think about. So you can break free from what they call the matrix. To condition and reprogram people. And that's how they got us down this road. So we don't know how to engage in critical thinking. We just buy in to the current, whatever it is. It's perfect for them. For the elite, it's perfect. What can we sell people now that they'll fall prey to? We are in the enemy's territory up to our ears. And the attack is against the soul and the humanity of people. Your positive volition should keep you up and out of that. If you want to be like those around you, think like those around you, in school, at work, then you will. You are different. You are a believer in Jesus Christ with Bible doctrine. Act like it. Doesn't mean you have to be mean to anybody, but you have to know what is in front of you. Because they're going to say things all the time that are wrong, biblically. And I'm talking about those that are Christians. They're caught up in this. They don't have spiritual discernment. And you're there because you have to be. You're there to be a witness. A witness. And I don't mean running your mouth all the time and telling them how wrong they are. That isn't going to work. Unless they ask you point blank. Then you can give them, drop. Jesus did. He just dropped some divine viewpoint and let it go. Or you can be a witness by your life. You are not, we are not, to be conformed to this present age. Now, sorting that out is another matter. sorting it all out, that is a horse of a different color. How you can do that and not be conformed and marching to the beat of the cosmos in these things. We all have to work on it. We're all exposed to stuff. But you can minimize this if you want to and self-discipline yourself. What else could you be doing with your time? Well, I'm bored. There's nothing else to do. Well, figure it out. Apply Bible doctrine. Produce divine good. Stay in fellowship. Pray. All these things are necessary to be spiritually healthy. In the meantime, point 10, the balance of phase 2 for him, the status quo remains an inner struggle between two realities that are total opposites. That's the Christian who is, their inner man is activated. That's another reason why you make it here to Bible class. So you can keep your spiritual sanity. Get back in class. Anybody you know and come across that have been here, that have fallen by the wayside, encourage him to get back here. Take it on yourself. Pray about it. He serves, that's the subject of verse 25b, he serves time serving two masters. The one is the law of God, Bible doctrine, the rule of God. The other, the law of sin, which we're all too familiar with. That one we are completely familiar with. Because we see it cropping up in the lives of people and in our own experience as we go through phase two. The noun law means the rule or the principle of something. With my flesh refers to the place where the STA resides. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to be together in these difficult and evil times. Watch over us, protect us, and keep us from falling. In Jesus' name, amen.